Today is Thursday, July 31st, and this is the World Socialist Website. Three killed in Nebraska biofuel plant explosion. America's industrial carnage continues. By Jerry White. On Sunday, the International Workers' Alliance of Rank and File Committees, or IWA RFC, held a public hearing on its investigation into the death of Stellantis Dundee engine worker Ronald Adams Sr. and the unending wave of fatalities at America's industrial slaughterhouse. In the 3 days since, the significance of the meeting has been revealed in a series of workplace disasters that have claimed more lives. On Wednesday, authorities confirmed that a worker, Dylan D. Danielson of Columbus, Nebraska, and his two children were killed in the massive explosion at the Horizon Biofuels plant the day before in Fremont, 32 miles northwest of Omaha. The two young girls, ages 8 and 12, were reportedly waiting for their father to get off of work and take them to a doctor's appointment when the plant's concrete storage elevator exploded in a huge fireball at around 11:45 a.m. Robbie Baker, the stepfather of one of the girls, told KMTV Omaha that Danielson made a desperate call to his wife to try to save the children. Quote, right after the building collapsed, he was pinned inside of it. He made a phone call to his wife and said where the girls were at, get someone in there to get them out, and he was pinned in and there was fire all around him, unquote. Intense flames, smoke, and fears of collapse prevented emergency crews from entering. Fremont Mayor Joey Spellerberg confirmed the deaths at a press conference Wednesday when authorities said it could take days before the bodies were recovered. The plant recycles pallets and wood waste to produce animal bedding and wood pellets for home heating, industrial purposes, and smoking food. Officials suspect the blast was triggered by accumulated dust in the elevator and tons of wood waste and alcohol-based materials stored on site. The company has issued no statement. The catastrophe could have been worse. The company had only 10 employees, but it is surrounded by other plants like Cargill, Fremont Beef, and Lincoln Premium Poultry, which employ hundreds. Windows were blown out at the Jayhawk Box Factory, and homes half a mile away were shaken. In 2014, a fire at the Horizon plant took over 8 hours to put out. Dangers in the wood pellet industry are well known. Dust and gases like methane and carbon monoxide are highly flammable, and large volumes of pellets can spontaneously combust. A 2018 Environmental Integrity Project report found that 8 of the 15 largest U.S. wood pellet facilities had fires or explosions since 2014. A 2017 fire at the German pellets facility in Texas burned for 2 months, killing a worker and forcing residents to seek medical care. Similar disasters occurred in Europe, including a 2010 incident that killed 3 in Germany. Before this explosion, Horizon had a history of safety violations. In 2012, OSHA cited 5 serious violations, including failure to implement lockout-tagout procedures, inadequate forklift training, and failure to prevent chemical exposure and fire hazards from wood dust. Fines were reduced from $12,000, already pocket change for the corporation, to $6,000 after the company contested them. The deaths in Nebraska are only the latest in a national workplace death toll. On Monday, July 28th, a 30-year-old worker in Willoughby, Ohio, was killed when a box truck crashed into the cherry picker lift he was working on. The sign company worked for is a franchise of Yesco, which has had at least 15 separate OSHA investigations since 2015, including for a 2020 death in Michigan and failing to provide harnesses and other fall protections. On Sunday, July 27th, Kim Jung-won, a 34-year-old South Korean contractor, was killed at the LG Energy Solutions lithium battery plant in Holland, Michigan. According to the Michigan Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or MEOSHA, the, quote, 34-year-old senior researcher was installing and setting up a machine at a customer location when the machine activated and the victim was caught between the frame and the lifting mechanism. In an anodyne statement on what must have been a horrific scene, the Holland police said, quote, due to the injuries, the victim was clearly deceased, unquote. In both the circumstances and scale of injuries, the death of Kim Jong-won at the facility owned by LG Energy, which operates several joint ventures with Stellantis in the U.S., is strikingly similar to the April 7th death of Ronald Adams Sr. A 63-year-old skilled tradesman was crushed to death at the Dundee engine complex when an overhead gantry suddenly activated and pinned him to a conveyor. These are only the publicized deaths. The U.S. government does not maintain current workplace fatality data. The latest posted OSHA inspection record is from February 2025, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics will not publish 2024 data until December. Each year, more than 5,200 workers die from injuries and 135,000 from work-related illnesses. Another 3.2 million suffer non-fatal injuries, likely a severe undercount, given that reporting is voluntary and workers fear retaliation. The toll will grow as Trump slashes OSHA. In the next fiscal year, OSHA will conduct nearly 10,000 fewer inspections, face an 8% budget cut, and lose more than 12% of its staff. A former UPS and Amazon executive has been tapped to head and dismantle the agency. On July 16th, Rebecca Rindell of the AFL-CIO testified to Congress that in 2024, OSHA conducted over 34,600 inspections, meaning each workplace is inspected once every 185 years. If reduced to 25,000 inspections in 2026, this will jump to once every 266 years, the lowest rate ever, even worse than during COVID-19. But the AFL and the Democratic Party will not challenge this. The union bureaucracy has spent decades betraying and suppressing the class struggle, including the bitter strikes by Iowa beef processing workers in Nebraska in the 1980s when the National Guard was deployed. The union bureaucracy is collaborating in Trump's drive to overturn a century of labor protections and restore conditions depicted in Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union has done nothing to oppose Trump's mass roundups of immigrants, including at Glen Valley Foods in Nebraska and JBS in Iowa, which are aimed at intimidating and silencing opposition by immigrant and native-born workers alike to deadly sweatshop exploitation. A 2021 study found that immigration raids from 2001 to 2019 led to a 50% drop in OSHA complaints at workplaces with large Hispanic workforces and a 30% rise in injuries. The reaction of the United Auto Workers bureaucracy to the death of Ronald Adams Sr. has been to protect management, conceal the truth from his family and coworkers, and join the company in threatening workers who speak out with retaliation. The only force that can stop this is the independent intervention of the working class. That was the theme of the powerful July 27th hearing by the International Workers Alliance of Rank and File Committees, or IWARFC, on the death of Ronald Adams Sr. It brought together Adams' family, Dundee co-workers, and rank-and-file workers from other sectors. Participants unanimously passed a resolution demanding an end to the, quote, cover-up of the ongoing industrial slaughter taking place in factories, warehouses, construction sites, and processing plants. Those responsible, from corporate executives to union officials and government regulators, must be held accountable for their role and these preventable deaths, unquote. The resolution called for the continuation and expansion of the independent rank-and-file investigation into the death of Adams, the extension of this investigation to include the deaths of other victims, an end to the bipartisan assault on workplace safety and social programs, and the building of rank-and-file safety committees in every workplace, democratically controlled by workers themselves and independent of the pro-corporate unions, to enforce safe working conditions and expose dangerous practices. The resolution concluded, quoting, we therefore call on all workers in the United States and internationally to join the International Workers Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees and take up the fight for a national and international movement to end the sacrifice of workers' lives and limbs on the altar of profit. The time has come to organize, to resist, and to reclaim the right to live and work in safety and dignity. The WSWS calls on all workers to come forward and join the investigation into the death of Ronald Adams and other workplace fatalities. Contact us on the WSWS to get involved. Trump Administration to Eliminate Key Climate-Related Environmental Regulations by Brian Dine. The Trump administration announced Tuesday it is seeking to rescind the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding, which determined that greenhouse gas emissions threaten public health and welfare, as a key step in eliminating all federal regulation regarding climate change. If finalized, the rescission would strip the authority of the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, to regulate greenhouse gases, especially carbon dioxide and methane, across transportation, power generation, and other industrial sectors, affecting an estimated $1 trillion in existing regulations, while simultaneously dismantling the agency's scientific research capabilities. The move comes just days after the International Court of Justice released a unanimous advisory opinion that climate change is, quote, an existential problem of planetary proportions that imperils all forms of life and the very health of our planet, unquote. While ultimately toothless in providing enforcement, the UN agency's report clearly spells out the scientific reality of the risks posed by climate change. Trump's broadside against climate change comes amid the administration's more general attack on science as a whole. He has always personified the most obscurantist and medieval elements of the American oligarchy, which emerged in his first term in his attacks on public health during the initial stages of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. More recently, his Big Beautiful Bill is set to dismantle scientific research across every federal agency in the U.S., with a specific focus on climate and the environment. To carry out the specific attacks against EPA regulation, Trump installed one of his close allies, Lee Zeldin, who has been a supporter of Trump for years, as head of the agency. Zeldin was one of the 139 Republican House members who voted against confirming Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 federal election and the hours following Trump's attempted coup on January 6, 2021. Zeldin's approach at EPA extends far beyond the endangerment finding. In March 2025, he announced what he called, quote, the greatest and most consequential day of deregulation in U.S. history, unquote, targeting 31 major environmental rules for rollback. Most dramatically, the administration this month eliminated the EPA's Office of Research and Development, cutting the agency workforce from over 16,000 workers to just under 1,200 employees, a 23% reduction that terminated over 1,100 scientists focused on PFAS, synthetic forever chemicals contamination, waterborne diseases, air pollution, and climate research. Zeldin made the announcement of the rescission at a truck dealership in Indianapolis, gloating that the move would be, quote, the largest deregulatory action in the history of the United States, unquote. Such comments mirror Zeldin's declaration after he was nominated to lead the EPA that he would be, quote, driving a dagger through the heart of climate change religion, unquote. An editorial by the Wall Street Journal, speaking on behalf of U.S. fossil fuel interests, celebrated the impending rescission as Liberation Day. The pseudoscientific grounds for the decision are based on a report commissioned by the Department of Energy, or DOE, which brought on five scientists, including Stephen E. Koonin and John Christie, known for their rejection of virtually all evidence showing the connection between greenhouse gas emissions and rising temperatures. The DOE report was used to craft the 302-page document proposing to rescind the 2009 finding that greenhouse gases are a danger to public health and can therefore be regulated under the Clean Air Act. The new EPA document declares there is a basis to eliminate greenhouse gas regulations because the 2009 finding, quote, unreasonably analyzed the scientific record and because developments cast significant doubt on the reliability of the findings, unquote. In reality, the scientific record of the impact of capitalist industrial activity on Earth's warming climate is clear and well established. The direct connection between the amount of heat captured by the Earth's atmosphere, and thus the average surface temperature, and the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, was established by Cervantes Arrhenius in 1896. Regular measurements of atmospheric CO2 began at the Mauna Loa Observatory in 1958, which has recorded the steady increase of the concentration of the greenhouse gas in our atmosphere for 67 years. Every record of Earth's average temperature has shown a steady increase for the past century, accelerating sharply in the past 40 years. Numerous reports from the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, countless peer-reviewed papers, and even scientific reports from the United States itself, including under the previous Trump administration, have all shown definitively the connection between greenhouse gases and Earth's rising temperatures, and that both are human-induced. One of the high points of this research was the 2021 Nobel Prize in Physics, which was awarded to Sayakuro Manabe and Klaus Hasselmann for extending Arrhenius' original model to show with advanced computer models that changes in the carbon dioxide content of the atmosphere have vast implications for Earth's climate. This is to say nothing of the lived experience of hundreds of millions of workers and youth around the world who have suffered more than a decade and a half of longer droughts, more powerful hurricanes, polar vortexes, rampant wildfires, deadly floods, and devastating heat waves, all extreme weather consequences of climate change not foreseen in 2009. Millions of lives have been lost worldwide as a result, and millions more are threatened as climate change continues to accelerate unabated. It has been estimated that by 2050, up to 1 billion humans will have to relocate in order to survive famine, flooding, and more as a direct result of climate change. The consequences that have been lived through during the past 16 years make clear that not only have developments continued to confirm the warnings issued by climate scientists, which began emerging en masse in the 1980s, but also that the Obama-era rules were wholly inadequate to address one of the greatest crises induced by capitalism. The attack by Trump is not, however, just the product of the backward and blinkered understanding of the president. It represents a turn by the entire American oligarchy to further depths of reaction and violence against the working class and the ruling elite's ongoing pursuit of profit. The EPA was formed in 1970, in large part to enforce the 1963 Clean Air Act and clear the polluted air that had plagued American cities for decades. Cities such as Los Angeles, Pittsburgh, New York, and Detroit would often go days, weeks, or even months covered in industrial smog. The agency estimates that efforts to reduce air pollution have saved at least 230,000 lives in the U.S., prevented 200,000 heart attacks, and avoided millions of cases of respiratory problems. The efforts by the Trump administration to roll back greenhouse gas regulations mean going back to these times, when simply breathing could choke a worker to death. The cost of the regulations is seen as too high, and workers are viewed as expendable items in the cogs of capitalism. It is not merely a question of different administrations or different bourgeois parties. The Obama and Biden administrations were equally incapable of dealing with climate change. They laid out regulations that were designed not to seriously fight global warming, but rather to ensure that the American economy profited most from emerging technological developments, including different forms of renewable energy and electric vehicles. The real solution to climate change is the replacement of the profit system with democratic and scientific planning, cutting across corporate profits and rivalries of nation-states. This requires a turn to the working class, the only revolutionary international social force, as part of the political fight against capitalism and for socialism, so that humanity can address the climate crisis with the urgency and on the scale it demands.
This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website. The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.